Hi guys, welcome back to Time with Tracy, and this is your girl Tracy. Every Tuesday at 5:30 UMFM 101.5. So let's get into it. Thank you everyone who tuned into this show last week for our first ever episode, and now we are going to get into our second episode. I hope you love, you know, the episodes. I hope you guys are having an amazing week. I hope you're getting vaccinated. I hope you're following all the protocols, because we do need to keep safe. We do need to keep ourselves and our families safe and everyone else around us. This week we are going to be discussing about suicide, because as you may know, or even if you don't, this week is Suicide Prevention Month, and being a teenager or being anyone on earth, suicide is such a huge thing for us, and it's such a big concern that we have, because first of all, more than 700,000 people die due to suicide in 1 year, and to be exact, 15-year-olds and between 15-year-olds and 19-year-olds, suicide is the fourth leading cause of death between this age range, which makes it very sad, because these are our leaders of tomorrow. These are kids, these are brothers, these are sisters, our friends, best friends, and people that we genuinely care about. And suicide is also 70% of our global crisis occurring in middle-income countries. So all in all, suicide is something that we need to pay more attention to. We need to create awareness around it, because of the way it affects our community, because of the way it affects our schools, our businesses, our families, our homes in general. Talking about suicide might be triggering for some people, so if this is an episode that you find a bit hard to listen to, please do not hesitate to turn me off, please, because I want everyone to be safe. I want everyone to take care of themselves. But if you feel like you are up for this conversation, you are up to get to know more, I guess we can definitely dive into it. Well, I'm guessing someone might wonder that who is at risk of committing suicide, as we've already mentioned that people in middle-income countries are at such a huge risk. This could include people who are facing conflict, disasters, violence. It could be domestic violence. It could be bullying, abuse, or they have this sense of isolation. That's why in the times of COVID like today, we are seeing so many people coming up and telling us, you know, take care of each other, take care of yourselves. Even if we're in isolation, try to do something that you enjoy, because it's a very tough time for someone to live in isolation or to live alone, for some people who do not have families, or for international students that are very far away from like their families or their best friends or their guardians. It's such a huge thing. Also, minority groups, people who are facing racism, discrimination. This could be like the indigenous people, people of the LGBTQ community, black people. Those are people who are also at risk of attempting suicide. But by far, till date, the strongest risk factor for suicide is a previous suicide attempt. So this is something that we don't take lightly. Or this is something that we shouldn't take lightly, because sometimes when a person has tried to commit suicide in the past, and they did not manage to go through with it, yes, it's a good thing, because we are trying to be there for them, we are trying to support them, but it's such a huge risk factor, because it means that the person has actually thought about it, has given it the time of day. So it's such a big thing that we need to watch out for and we need to keep our eyes open for. Suicide can happen in very many ways, but one of the leading ways is poisoning most times and hanging or firearms. So why I talk about the methods of suicide, because it's very important, because one of the best ways for a person to prevent or to help a person who is having suicidal thoughts is keep these things out of reach. And we have mentioned that a person who has tried to commit suicide before is at a very high risk, which means if the person tried to commit suicide with a knife or with something sharp, or it could be ropes, you have to keep these out of their reach. That's why it's important to know, how did this happen? Was it using pills and the person is already taking some medication? So which means I'll try to take care of the way they take their medication. I'll try to, you know, supervise how they take their medication. I'll try to keep it out of their reach. That's why it's very important for a method to be found out, because it helps a family member, it helps a counselor, it helps a psychologist, it helps a friend, a best friend take care of a person who has tried to commit suicide before. Sometimes we as a community do not know how to watch out for the warning signs of someone who is having suicidal thoughts or someone who is thinking about committing suicide. So that's one of the very important things that I want to talk about today, warning signs. If your friend, your family member is talking about suicide, talking about self-harm, that is a very big sign. If they're talking about dying, and this is something that they don't even talk about in their normal daily lives. Sometimes, one thing that I would say is that when people are thinking about committing suicide, sometimes they do look for, let me call them last cry helps, or last cries, or like last chances of help. So sometimes they will try to hint about it because they are trying to reach out, they are trying to call out to their person, to their friend, to their partner, and they're trying to ask for one last chance, or they're trying to look for some hope. So talking about suicide is such an important sign. Another one could be seeking out lethal means. If they're trying to get access to firearms, they're trying to get access to the guns, or they're trying to get access to pills, which they do not need. Or, for example, if they're not taking any pills, they're not taking anything for their mental health or for their own, or for maybe a disease that they have, or for painkillers and stuff like that, and they are trying to look for them, and you're not seeing a reason, a very valid reason as to why they are trying to look for them, that is a big sign, because you can take a step and you try to talk to your friend, to your partner, to your business partner, and you're like, you know, why do you need this? Why are you looking for knives or for pills or for guns? If a person is preoccupied with death, let me give an example. If someone is always writing poetry or is always listening to jolly songs, you know, songs about dancing, songs about being happy, but then all of a sudden they are writing or reading poems about death. They are basically preoccupied with death. The songs they listen to are talking about death. The novels they're reading are talking about death. The kinds of movies, the kinds of series they are watching are talking about death. I mean, yes, there are so many movies and series that could talk about death, but if a person is, that's all they are watching, that's all they are comfortable with watching, that's all they are listening to, usually that is also a sign. No hope for the future, feelings of helplessness, as if there is no way out. If this is a friend that you've been going to the gym with, or this is a friend that you've been trying to work on a project with, and out of the blue, you know, they're like, you know, there's no need for us to work on this project. There's no need for me to go to school. There's no need for me to finish my degree. There's no need for me to work hard in this job to do better. I shouldn't do it. When there is no hope in what they're trying to communicate, usually it means that they do not look up to the future, or they're not looking up to making it through another week, another day, another month. So this is a good sign to try and talk to them. Is someone getting their affairs in order? Most times when people are trying to make a will, or when they're trying to, you know, trying to sell their stuff, giving away their prized possessions, it's always a sign, because they do not, maybe they're trying to give back to the community, or maybe they feel like they need to get their stuff in order for their kids, for their friends, for their relatives. That's a very big sign, because sometimes it shows that they have already put a plan in place. And this includes saying goodbye to people. You know, you talk to a person and they're like, you know, in case I don't see you again, in case I don't manage to, you know, meet you for a long time. These are warning signs. And sometimes it's so scary, because in our communities, when we do not care about such stuff, we tend to miss them. And even though we wouldn't have wanted to miss them, because they are usual, or because we just move on day to day lives, and we are, you know, just trying to get through work, go to school, finish assignments, finish our projects, finish, you know, take care of our kids, pick them up from school, drop them home from school, we tend to miss the signs. We don't try to live in our present, and we end up missing what we could have seen. But when we open our eyes to this stuff, when we talk about them, when we put them in our mind setting, it means that if we are talking to our friend and we see something like a warning sign, we shall take charge. We shall get on the go. We shall be like, oh, I noticed this. I need to talk to this person. I want to help, because we are taking time to actually notice this. Another big sign is self-destructive behavior. I mean, all of us can want to have a glass of wine here and there, or we want to, be recreational, or that kind of stuff. But most times, if a person is having suicidal thoughts, they start drinking a lot, or they start using alcohol, or they're having reckless behavior, like reckless driving, and they are taking unnecessary risks as if they do not care about tomorrow or about their future. This is a sign that you should talk to your loved one. You should ask them, what's going on? Are you okay? What can I do for you? Do you need me to do something? Another one is a sudden sense of calm. When a person is thinking about committing suicide because of what they have been through, because of what they have faced, because of all these different feelings that I have them to try and look for this way to escape, and they have found it as a way that's going to give them peace, they will get a sudden sense of calm and happiness after a big period of depression, or after a period of like being sad and down, because they have finally made the decision. And to them, to a person who is having suicidal thoughts, it's a way of thinking that, oh, I'm going to be so much happier. So they feel like the pain is done. So that's always a very huge thing to also watch out for. And I've talked about all these warning signs, and I've talked about all, you know, who's at risk, who to watch out for, because it's super important. It's like, for example, in any other daily life, you know, they're telling us, do not eat uncooked food, do not drink, you know, dirty water. These are all prevention. So these are all, it's like the dirty water is like a warning sign. Why we talk about the warning signs is because if we are able to recognize these signs, if we are able to hang out with our friends and notice that, oh, my friend is having these kinds of thoughts, my friend is changing, my friend is, you know, preoccupied with death. If you know what to look out for, it's so much easier to keep ourselves, to keep our community safe. That's why it's super, super, super important for us to know the warning signs, because that's the only way we can keep ourselves safe. It's the only way we can keep our community safe. So now what I'm going to dive into is how can we prevent suicide as a community? How can we prevent suicide as a family member, as a best friend, as... Why I keep on mentioning the different steps in all the different levels of relationships you can be in with anyone in the world is because we have to recognize that even if it's someone you don't talk to every day, if you notice the warning signs, take it upon yourself. Take it upon yourself to maybe approach a family member that you know is very close to them, or a best friend of theirs. You might just be a person who is a friend who knows the warning signs, and you notice that maybe, you know, their best friend hasn't noticed the warning signs. If you have, that is all that matters. That is literally your chance. That is literally your go-to to take the matters into your hands, because the biggest thing we have about being a community is staying united and trying to fight suicide together, trying to fight the stigma, trying to fight, you know, the fear that people have around talking about it, because we have to be there for each other, essentially. First tip is speak up if you're worried. If you spot the warning signs in someone that you care about, yes, it's very normal that you wonder, should I say something? I mean, is it my place? What if my friend gets angry? What if my brother gets angry with me? What if it's a whole new thing, because it gets very uncomfortable. But sometimes talking about it is the best way to save a person's life. Because you might approach this person and you never know, maybe they were actually waiting for one person to notice. You never know, they are waiting for maybe you to notice. They are waiting for just one person who will tell them, do you know what? You are not alone. We can get through this. We can get some help for you. It's okay. This can be overwhelming, but we can get through this. I am here with you. So please do not be afraid to speak up. It's better to speak up than to stay quiet. Just start a conversation. Maybe you might be wondering, how should I start a conversation about a big thing like suicide? You can go to your loved one and be like, you know, I have been feeling concerned about you lately. I feel like maybe you are not okay. I have noticed some differences. Do you want to talk about it? Are you okay? I wanted to check in, you know. And then you start asking, when did you start feeling like this? If they are able to open up with you, and you ask them, how best can I support you? How best can I be there for you? Sometimes it's the only thing you need is to just speak up. Just speak up. I'm going to give you some more tips of when talking to a person who is having suicidal thoughts. Be yourself. Be yourself. Let that person care. Let that person know that you care. Sorry. Finding the right words is not even the most important thing. The most important thing is you being there for them. Listen to your friend. Listen to your loved one. Let them unload their feelings. Let them vent. Let them, no matter how negative the conversation might go, no matter how you might think, oh, this is such a dark conversation, be there for them, be their ears, and be sympathetic and non-judgmental, because most times people think they know what's going on in other people's heads, but to be honest, that's actually not true. Because as I mentioned in my last show, we're talking about it, and even with my friends, we're just discussing about how even on my podcast that I have psyched with my friend Holly, we're talking about it, and we're like, so many situations affect us individually. They affect us in different ways. That's why we can't really know what someone is going through. That's why it's much better to be sympathetic and to listen without passing judgment, because we can sometimes, even if we try to put ourselves in their shoes, sometimes we won't really know. Offer hope. Tell them, you know, there's going to be a tomorrow. These feelings will pass, and they are temporary as long as they try to get some help, and take the person seriously. So many times we have heard stories whereby someone will say, you know, I wanted to talk about my suicidal thoughts and I did talk about them. I did talk about them with my friend and my friend was like, oh, why would you feel like that? I mean, there's so much more to life than just this. That is a very bad way to come to stuff. Why I say this is you have to take the person seriously because this is a matter of life and death. And maybe this conversation that you're having with this person, maybe that's their lifeline. Maybe that's the thing that's still holding them together. Something that is very important too is do not promise confidentiality. When it comes to suicide, sometimes we can, even as a person who is a friend or you who's listening to your friend who has suicidal thoughts, sometimes it's hard to handle such a situation alone and you might need help or you might need to speak to a mental health professional. You might need to speak to another friend that you share and find a way to support your friend. So do not promise confidentiality because you might need help from someone else. And if you promise to keep your discussion secret, you may have to break your word. So do not promise that. One last thing, do not blame yourself. These are things that we cannot fix. You can't fix someone else's depression. You can be there for them. You can be, you know, the best friend that you can be, the best sister, the best brother. But the truth is, you do what you are able to do. You cannot do that. Tip number two, respond quickly in a crisis. If a friend or family member tells you that they are thinking about suicide, it's important to value this as immediate danger. Because just because a person is telling you they are thinking about it doesn't mean that they won't act on it in the next 30, 20 minutes. It's important to take the plan and to take a step right there and then. First thing I would tell you is, you should assess whether they have a suicide plan. Are they, you know, looking around their apartment? Do they have knives around? Do you know if your friend or your family member carries a gun? Those are the things that you need to start. You have to start assessing whether they have a plan. What are they planning to do? Do you know when they are planning to do it? Try to be as active. You have to be active right there and then, because that's the only way we are going to try and keep our family members safe. And lastly, offer help and support. Just offer to be there for them. Sometimes, yes, even if a person is having suicidal thoughts, it might be combined with like depression and they might not be able to do stuff for themselves. And maybe you want to keep an eye on them. You want to keep them safe. It could be like offering help, like, you know, cooking for them some food, doing their laundry, going for a walk with them, just trying to be there for them and supporting them in the best way that you can. As I conclude this episode, I'm going to list a few ways you can help a suicidal person. In addition, try to get them professional help if you are not a professional, because there you might get to know some more stuff, some ways you can help that maybe you did not know about. You might need to call a crisis line in order to get some advice from a mental health professional. Follow up on treatment. If the person is going to see a therapist, follow up if they are going for their appointments, if they're going for their sessions, if they're taking medication, are they keeping up with the medication? And as I said before, be proactive. Tell them, you know, call me if you need anything. Call me at this time. Give them, you know, your email, your Instagram, anything so that they can be able to reach to you. Encourage a positive lifestyle. One of the ways could be like exercising, getting important sleep. This could mean, you know, sitting down with your friend or family member to, you know, make a plan, make a timetable for them. You know, today let's have some salads, let's have some greens, let's have some nice food that is going to make your body well nourished. As I said before, remove any potential means of suicide. This could mean pills, knives, razors, or firearms, and continue to support them over the long haul. Continue to be there for them. Yeah, so one last thing I'm going to go through before I tell you guys a good night, and I hope you have loved this episode, is we are going to talk about some common misconceptions about suicide. First myth is people who talk about suicide won't really do it. Fact is, almost everyone who attempts suicide has given some clue or some sort of warning. That's why I'm continuing to emphasize that, hey, if you see a warning sign, if you see something that shows, oh, my friend is not okay, it's super important to start acting on it right there and then, because just because someone has talked about it doesn't mean they won't do it. Another myth is anyone who tries to kill themselves must be crazy. Fact is, most suicidal people are not even psychotic or insane. They are just upset, they are grief-stricken, they are depressed, they are in so much turmoil, and they are just feeling so tired, and they're in so much emotional pain. And sometimes these are not even necessarily signs of mental illness. Another myth is people who die by suicide are people who are unwilling to seek help. Fact is, many people try to get help before actually attempting suicide. In fact, studies indicate that more than 50% of suicide victims have sought medical help in 6 months prior to their deaths. So yes, they do actually try to look for help, but sometimes with life and everything going on, sometimes it does not go according to plan. But what, as I said, the best thing we can do is to be there for them, support them in the long haul, be there for them. It might be 1 month, it might be 2 months, it might be a year. Do the best you can. And the last myth is talking about suicide may give someone the idea. Fact is, you cannot give someone suicidal ideas by talking about suicide. Rather, the opposite is true. Talking openly and honestly about suicidal thoughts and feeling can actually help someone save their life. Because as you talk about this, you end up encouraging them, you end up talking to them and telling them, you know, you are not the only person who has had these thoughts. And the truth is that so many people have had these thoughts, and we can get through it together. We can work through these thoughts together. We can get you help. I'll be there for you, you know, as you go through this situation. So talking about it doesn't mean that you're going to make a person like wake up in the morning and feel like, oh, now I have suicidal thoughts. But talking about it openly and honestly encourages someone else who is feeling these kinds of thoughts to actually talk about it and to try and get some help. And yes, this episode was definitely very heavy, but I hope you guys have loved it. I hope you have managed to learn something, and please try to always reach out for help. If you're a person that is feeling or having some suicidal thoughts, it's never a problem. Try to reach out to a crisis center. Try to reach out to a family member. I promise they are there for you. You are not alone in this. And for anyone who has, you know, who has a family member that looks to have maybe the warning signs, or, you know, as we've been going through them, you're like, oh, maybe this might be a time to talk about it. Now is the time. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. Do it now. Talk to them and, you know, do the best that you can as a human being and be there for them. I love talking to you as usual. I hope you guys have an amazing Tuesday. I hope that you get everything that you hope and wish for. And this was your girl, Tracy. Thank you again for spending some time with your girl, Tracy. I'll see you guys next week. I love you guys. Thank you and have a good evening.